Yeah, well, here we are again. It's the news. According to me. Hey, it's Monday. Monday morning, October 27th, 9:20 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kind of a little bit late, but like better, you know, better here than not. I have a... It's Monday. Did I say this? It's 2025, in case you were wondering what year it was. What year it is, was, what you're listening to it was, as I'm doing it, it is. Everything that is, was, becomes was. Oh, my goodness. It is Monday. It is certainly Monday. Mishmash Monday. And you're going to get all the mishmash there is to be mished and mashed. I've been mashing all day long. Quite an interesting little trip over the weekend. It's been what is going on here with my phone? All of a sudden, I didn't want to do that. Well, anyway, all right. I'm gonna put that down because it's just one thing after another this morning. I have I've been looking for some stuff online, and it's, I have to tell you right away, first of all, what's in my cup. I have my cup of chai, and I have I'm at the home studio this morning. I have a cup of chai with my Almond Joy creamer in it. I don't really have a backup cup this morning. I have a cup of water, ice water. And it's good. It's good. It's good stuff. Don't get me wrong. It's good ice water. But the... it is not sweet tea, that's for sure. But the chai is half gone already. This may not be a long show because I might run out of chai before the hour is up. Anyway, this week, we'll probably have a show every day. Friday, I think there will be a show on Friday. From Memphis, I think I will be in Memphis. I believe somewhere there. I don't know. I can double check. If it doesn't really matter where I am, it's just up to whether or not there's going to be a show. I think there will be a show every day. But Thursday morning is going to be a little bit tight for the show. But I believe I'll be able to have one. If it might be a little bit short. Yeah, Memphis is where I will be. The rest of next month is going to be interesting, though. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting month in November. I'll have to see how that goes. The first week, but there might not be any shows the first week. Probably going to be one, but I don't know how that's going to go. Anyway, apparently there's been some things. I'm going to talk about Hakeem Jeffries today a little bit because he apparently, a couple weeks ago, he made some comments, and I think I found... This isn't the one he said. I heard this initially on Larry O'Connor with Larry. Is the name of his channel. And he made this comment, and at the time I had no idea that apparently there had been some death threats to Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries, of course, is the speaker, the minority speaker in the House. He's the minority leader in the House for the Democrats, or should I say the Democratics? He's the Democratics, the Democratic Party, not the Democrat Party, because apparently they've changed their brand just on a whim, without telling anybody. I still get tired of hearing it. It's just such a weird thing to hear because once you've heard it, you can't unhear it. Once you realize you've been duped. Apparently a January 6th rioter who was pardoned, of course, has supposedly made a death threat. He's been arrested now towards Hakeem Jeffries. Now, they won't say anything about the fact that it's the Trump administration that has placed this guy under arrest. I haven't heard any details about it, but when he first initially came out with this little statement, apparently he said something, and it was kind of a weird deal that he said it. I'll have to go back to the archives and try to find it, because now everything you look for under Hakeem Jeffries is all Hakeem Jeffries, you know, death threats against Hakeem Jeffries. That's all you hear. This guy's been arrested. Well, there's about 20 prominent death threats against Donald Trump every day. I don't see people getting arrested, you know, one after another. when somebody got not just other politicians, you have actors and everybody else out there making all kinds of death threats and veiled threats to the president and to anybody who voted for him. People celebrating the assassination of certain individuals. I'll be playing some audio tomorrow. It is all getting compiled, by the way. I know I keep promising to do that, but it's some other things I want to play. So today, I want to play this thing about from Hakeem here. Let's see how this plays. I don't know if it's going to play very well or not. he makes this little statement. This guy's just such a great orator. His cadence and pace and just his ability to communicate. I should play something that Ronald Reagan, there was a speech that it was Ronald Reagan gave. His last speech, very last speech that he ever made as president. Of course, the Canadian government, I guess, apparently is under, I guess they're being sued now by the Reagan administration, Reagan Association or whatever, because they took archives, they took from the archives, they edited things together to make Ronald Reagan make a statement that wasn't true about tariffs. Reagan was a big fan of tariffs. He used tariffs very not quite as aggressively or ingeniously, I should say, as Trump has done.
Donald Trump and the administration.
Let's keep going here.
Here in America, we're living in a moment of extreme political violence. And that impacts every single person in public service and the people that we are all working hard to represent. But we will not be intimidated. We will continue to show up and stand up and speak up for the American people to improve their quality of life.
I assume he's looking at a teleprompter here because he keeps looking around the room, but he keeps looking back at this one spot when he's reading. And he has very interesting places where he puts hesitations. I don't know what's going through his head. I don't understand how you talk like that. It makes no sense to me, it bothers me as a voiceover artist. It really bothers me when people talk like this. There's certain things that certain tones of voice, certain things just really irritate me, and this is one of them because I just don't feel like. It's like, what is this guy doing? What does he think? These moments that he has, these long hesitations, what's going through his head at those moments?
To address the extremism that is being unleashed on everyday Americans
by this administration
all across the country, we will not bend, we will not break, we will never bow down.
He makes this statement.
And when it comes to these extremists out there,
Althea,
you better watch how you talk when you talk about me.
Better watch how you talk when you talk about me. Or what? Or what? What do you mean by that? Better watch how you talk when you talk about me. And when he first came out with this statement, I had no idea that there was anybody that placed any threats on him. There wasn't a big hoopla, a big fanfare about it. But he likes to come out and talk tough. Now this guy, he's done this before. He said something about this about a week before this little speech. He made some comments and he made it sound like he was, you're coming after me. I think it was the memes with the sombrero and the mustache. And they were treating it like it was racist, like it was all these, you know, it was this horrible, terrible thing. Childish, maybe. Funny, absolutely. But racist, no. No. No different than putting a headdress on Pocahontas. No different than that. And that's been done. Nobody screamed racism when that was happening. But it was By the way, she has no Cherokee blood in her whatsoever. Yeah. So, Hakeem, you make all these tough statements. Come out so tough. I'll give you some kudos and some credits and some props when you get shot in the ear and stand right back up within 30 seconds and say, fight, fight, fight. You know, that's what I'll... You know, and I'm not saying you wouldn't in that moment. I'm just saying until you do. You know, that's more the tough guy mentality that's the example. That's where the bar has been set. So, somebody just simply saying something to you about you, or I don't even know what the threat was. I need to find out more about that, I guess, initially. But it was one of those things where it's easy to talk tough like this. But I'm sorry, Hakeem, you don't come across as a tough guy to me. You just don't. Stop with that. It's pathetic. Maybe you are some kind of I don't know. Maybe you're a tough guy. I don't know. Sorry, and you know what? It shouldn't matter whether you're a tough guy or not, really. Physical toughness has nothing to do with mental and the kind of tenacity, the tenacious kind of toughness that we need in politics. But I digress. I have, but here's the thing. This is what really. The left looks at it as a feather in their cap when they get any kind of attention whatsoever. They play it up, and this is one of the things he's going to do. Of course, the left is going to play this up as a big deal. And I want to. The example of this is Harry Sisson. A lot of people didn't know who Harry Sisson was. If you'd have heard his name, you wouldn't put a face into it. You wouldn't know who the guy was. Now, I happen to know because there's a particular YouTuber that I watch quite often, the liberal hive mind guy. I don't even know his name. He has a tendency to go after Harry Sisson quite a bit. He's just one of his pet peeves. I think they've had some online, maybe Twitter X type stuff where they go back and forth at each other a little bit. So there's been a little bit more interaction between the two of them. So that's why he's kind of on his warpath. And Harry Sisson, he's a young kid who made it look like he was just some young college age, high school college age. And he tries to make himself look even younger than he is. He wears makeup when he does his little podcast stuff. He puts on blush or whatever it is he puts on his cheeks. Or I don't know what they call it. Is it blush or rouge? I don't know, whatever it is. And he actually wears lipstick. I mean, it's just, you can tell he's got himself fixed up. I mean, it's not overt. It's just for the lighting. He's an actor. He's got himself all fixed up for the camera. And to make him, especially to make him look more like a child, more like a kid, more like a youth, this baby face look he tries to go for. And so he does that. And he just looked like a grassroots, he tried to put himself off as a grassroots kind of guy who was getting all these people, you know, they were all, subscribers, people following him, all this stuff that was going on. Of course, a lot of it's bots. They're Russian bots, but they're paid. They're paid for bots by whatever countries they're coming from, India or Russia, wherever it's come from. Now, bots are just like an automatic auto-reply type thing. And they'll usually say almost the same thing. They'll all kind of have different identities or whatever, but they'll pretty much all say almost exactly the same thing. And they use AI to do this stuff now. And what you'll find is, like, when you go to CNN and you look at the comments, and you see all these great comments that are just one after the other, just praising whatever it is they're talking about. They just keep saying it. And it's pretty much the same thing every time. And it's like somebody like, you know, something like Hakeem Jeffries or Raskin or whoever it is, somebody who most people don't even know who the person is or what office they hold. And they go on and on and on with all this accolades about, oh, this guy's tough. He's a good guy, like Dan Goldman or whoever it is. And they'll go over this stuff and over and over and over. And it's just, it's almost sickening. Of course, then if you make an actual comment, either you won't get any comments whatsoever back from, you know, nobody will comment on what you said, or you'll get pounced on. But typically you don't get any comments. If you put a comment in the box, it's nobody will say anything, which is bizarre. You got all these people in there, you know, going, or it's the same exact comment you get from everybody that comes back. It's exactly the same, which, you know, just means that it's a bot. It's an automated generated reply type thing. Now, so that you know, that gets their rankings higher, their participation higher, all the stuff that they do to keep their algorithms up there, and they pump that all up, and they have people working on their search engine optimization stuff, their SEO. It's all done. Come to find out, Harry Sisson was not just some average kid out there who started his own channel. And he was independent. He was getting paid. He was getting paid by an NGO. He was getting lots of money, making his living doing it. Him and a couple other of his friends had this show that they were doing. Oh, look, the cat and the dog are down here. The old dog, not the new dog. The new puppy is off at school right now. He's learning some things. I'm going to get him back on Wednesday. Can't wait for that. I miss him. I haven't seen him for 2 weeks. Well, the old dog is down here, and the old dog gets along with the little female cat. They get along pretty well. They kind of look alike. They have the same colors, but she runs around down here. They you know, smell each other's noses and stuff. They get along really well. The yellow cat, not so much. Little dog here, he goes after him quite a bit. The yellow cat. The yellow male cat's a big cat and can fend for himself, but he tends to be a little bit more ornery. Anyway, getting back to this Jefferson, these people, the other day, it was like a week ago or something, when they were doing all this No Kings thing, I guess it was a little over a week ago, it was the last weekend. Of course, the president came out with this thing where he's flying a fighter jet and they're playing, you know, Top Gun music, and he's flying around when he's wearing a crown, and he drops fecal material again, it's not necessarily racist. It's not classy. It's childish, which is why I'm laughing at it, I guess. So it tells you something about me. He's dropping fecal material on all the protesters. And what, I didn't really think it was that funny until I saw the reaction from these people. It's the reaction from the people that I think is funny. That's what makes it funny. It's because they can't take it. It's a meme. It's not real. And apparently they think this is, you know, in my opinion, the president's just trying to be playful with this. It may be in bad taste. It may be, you know, it may not be mature. It may be an immature thing to do. But at the same time, it's not, you know, just call it what it is. It's immature. It's not racist. It's not Nazi. It's not whatever else. Just call it immature and move on. But they can't do that because immature people don't respond with mature responses. They just respond with immaturity, and it's just, you know, it's almost as if they're being played in this whole thing, because it's what they understand. They understand 12-year-old stuff like this, and it's almost as if the president is using 12-year-old stuff, you know, what a 12-year-old would do, to get at them, because he knows they act like 12-year-olds. You know, this is going to get an emotional response, and he knows it, and so that's what he does. It's almost as if he's playing them like a fiddle. To give them a mature response, they wouldn't deserve it. It would almost elevate who they are. It's like when you talk to a child who's acting like a child and you try to talk to them like an adult, they don't get that. It seems to reinforce their childish activity. So but I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor or a child psychologist. So I'm just giving you my opinion. And let me know what you think about what I think. By the way, you can call 812-379-8778, or you can text that number, or you can go to google.com/voice and type that number in, 812-379-8778. And you can give me your opinion on something. I might play it on the air. I might read it on the air, whatever. But you can. That's your point of contact, your hotline to the news, according to me. I have a dog that's trying to drill a hole in a cement floor. I have, that's what you hear in the background there. Now, having said all of that, this whole thing with Harry, the whole reason I bring up Harry Sisson and the whole thing with the poop bomber, they show these protesters down there, and of course, Harry Sisson is at the top of the line. This is all AI generated, of course. We call it AI generated. It's just computer generated. It's just that we call everything AI now. It's just AI is just an interface. So he had this generated. So these fecal material is dropped out of this airplane, splashes right down on Harry Sisson's head. He's like at the beginning of the, he's like the front of the pack of the people there. And he's sitting there smiling in the camera, and all of a sudden he gets hit with a poop, and he's makes this big face, and it's, oh, it's terrible, oh, yuck, you know, thing. Just gets doused with it. And, of course, from that, you could tell there was almost a sense of pride in Harry Sisson's voice when he came out talking about this. The president, I can't believe he posted this, and, of course, he had to play it. And, of course, he posted this video of me getting hit with this bomber, this jet plane, dumping fecal matter. I don't know what he called it. He has been playing it up ever since. He's made a big deal about the fact that the president knows who he is. This is a feather in his cap. He loves the fact that he's getting this kind of notoriety. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to Harry Sisson, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody knew who this guy was until now. Probably still don't really, they don't really care. But it's again, it's one of those things where, and of course, Harry Sisson has been caught up in some questionable, nefarious activities with individuals, with this group of friends that he interacts with online. And I'm not sure, let's just say there's a lot of allegations about what's been going on. The guy is not as young as he tries to portray himself to be. But he's going to be the next, you know, kind of Brian Stelter kind of individual. he might even run for office at some point. He almost looks like he could be Dan Goldman's son. It's just the way he looks. I don't know. It's like he could very well, very easily rise up to that level. But he's definitely kind of the David Hogg type. In fact, David Hogg is kind of tempered himself out a little bit on some things, on some issues. But he's kind of been quiet about some things. They've kind of held him back, other than trying to be, because this whole thing with him trying to be the vice chair of the DNC, and they basically kicked him out. So it's just because, you know, he was elected into that position, and they can't have that. They can't have a democratic process there in the Democratic National Committee. I don't know. I've been asking some folks on the left if they, you know, this is the whole aftermath, the afterglow of a presidential election. Everybody's still a little bit, I'll say, butthurt, I guess, about the fact that Kamala lost. So she comes out with a book, and that's tanking. It's just, it's her book tour is not playing well. She's making up things now. She's trying to rewrite history. She was the most qualified person to ever run for president, she's saying now, which just slams in the face of everybody else who's ever run for president on the Democrat side recently who's lost. She's putting herself in this position. She's making statements like that. That doesn't win her any points with any kind of the Democrat candidates that have been, I mean, Hillary Clinton. I guess, even talking about Barack Obama. All these other candidates who've run for presidents. She's the most qualified person to ever run for president, supposedly, according to her. In the closest election of the 21st century, which is not true either. It's the least closest election of the 21st century. yeah. Amazing to me she's getting away with that kind of stuff. But so they keep talking. They talk about this kind of stuff. And then they have, Well, this whole thing with the way they treat this stuff. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is going to play this up as well. Oh, I'm so important. People are trying to kill me. It's almost as if it's a feather in his cap. It's I have a death threat now too. I'm just as, you know, this is just as important for me as my, this is a big opportunity for me in my political career because I, you know, that's the way he's processing this in his head, trying to make this make sense. It makes him feel more important that someone actually is trying to kill him because he must be making a difference. That's kind of what they think. And you got Gavin Newsom out there who is continuing to just make stupid comments. And he's going on these shows and saying things. And here's the thing. This is what's really bizarre about all this. There's no leader in the Democrat Party right now. And in some way, they're all trying to step up and be that leader. Pritzker is even trying. It's at the point now where Pritzker and AOC, all these people could potentially be candidates in 2028. Because there is absolutely no leadership in the Democrat Party right now. And that's where they're at. So they're trying to fill this void. Now, Pritzker has actually kind of started to step into this. However, he's being called out by some people on the left. And especially people on the right. They're going after him on his whole crime statistics that he's been pushing out there. That the whole crime is down. Crime is down. And it's not. It's not down at all. And it's again, this gets back to the way they redefine criminal activity so they can say the numbers are down. Just because it's cut, he says it's been cut in half, which it hasn't actually been. And of course, they cherry pick the numbers. There's even been some reporters recently on the left who've called them out on that. They've said, "Well, I don't like hearing numbers from politicians who like to play with the numbers and make them, you know." And that's exactly what they do. One of the things I want to talk about today is the economy. We'll get into that just a little bit, but it's this whole thing of how they work. The media and how the media plays along with them. Now, I think that the media in general, I think that CNN and MSNBC have realized this isn't working. They need to kind of shift gears here a little bit and pretend to at least push back on some of these Democrats a little bit because letting them get a free ride they're not winning over the people. They don't have the influence they used to have. This is, you have to realize, independent networks, independent media, and there's some people out there who are actual journalists. Is it Jordan Cash, I think is the guy's name? He's out there in the streets doing stuff. People who are actually out in the streets documenting stuff that's going on and digging into things and actually looking at paperwork and policies and everything that's happening in real time. Are completely destroying the narrative of these legacy media places. Rachel Maddow, who used to make $50 million a year. Now, she had a show every night. She was on the show. I think she had to have an average of four times a week is what her average had to be. Four shows a week. Is now down to doing one show a week. And she gets paid $25 million. That's $500,000 per show. $500,000 per show. And we're supposed to believe that they're for the little guy, that they care about you. Well, they don't have the audience anymore. She doesn't have the clout to be there. She's literally bogused herself so many times that you know, given false information and all kinds of wacky, crazy, do wacky things that they can't keep going like that. They just can't keep it going like that. And she's not making enough money. Of course, they've just got her there. I don't know why. There's some changes coming to some of the legacy media places because they realize, and what's going to happen here with the 2026 midterms, they're already, finding that, of course, we're a week away, I think, or maybe it's a couple days, maybe it's tomorrow. I think there's some elections tomorrow. I know that next week there are some elections on Tuesday that are looking like the Republicans are going to win. I guess there are some polls now that are saying that the governor of California, what's up for the governorship of California, could potentially be a Republican. There's a couple of mayoral races out in California that are hotly contested right now. So we'll have to see what happens with all this. Of course, there's the Jersey race. There's some other things. And like I've always said, the polls tend to lag behind about 2 weeks. And this is, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks since the whole thing with the tweets, the text messages from the one guy who was a candidate for attorney general. I think it was in Virginia or Jersey or wherever it was. It was Jersey. Might have been Virginia. I got to remember. Someplace out east. And this guy was talking about all kinds of heinous things. Just obviously a ridiculous knucklehead. And then you got this guy who was literally has a Nazi tattoo on his chest, has claimed to be a communist, has made all kinds of I would say hateful comments toward the country. He's a former Marine, by the way. And yet they're endorsing the guy all over the place. You know, it just, Bernie Sanders is getting endorsing him. Now, Hakeem Jeffries now has finally come out and endorsed Mamdani. I don't know what kind of negotiation there was about that. I know he for a long time, he kept hesitating. They would ask him, are you or are you not going to endorse him? And he would pivot away from that so fast. They just recently came out, I think yesterday, and decided to endorse Mamdani. I'm sure that will put, you know, that will just put it over the top. Now I bet a lot of voters were waiting to see if Hakeem Jeffries was going to endorse him. I don't know if I want to vote for that guy until I know what Hakeem thinks I should do. I don't think it's going to encourage anybody to get out and vote. And just, that's where they're going to have the problem. I think the problem is not going to be when somebody calls and you ask who you're going to vote for. The problem is, are you actually going to get up out of your chair, go out in the rain, go out in the cold and into the crime-infested streets? Are you going to actually go out there, go to the polls and actually vote for the guy? Are you going to do that? Of course, there's the question of, does anybody actually do that, or are they just going to rig it again? In fact, Hakeem Jeffries was called on the carpet the other day about claiming that Trump was rigging the election, and this reporter actually got back in his face and said, "Now you know that's the kind of rhetoric that we go after Donald Trump on for saying that the election was rigged, and now you're saying it." Well, I'm saying he's trying to rig it. Oh, well, that's okay then, because he's trying to rig it. He was saying that we were rigging it, so therefore that was bad. When we say he's rigging it, that's not bad, because you know he's evil. He's evil. He's an evil person. He's evil. He's an autocratic, dictator, Nazi, Hitler. That's why we can't have the guy. They're still running against this guy. The whole problem is the whole Democratic Party. I said Democrat. I didn't say Democratic. I almost sounded like it, but I didn't. The whole Democrat Party is basically still running against Trump. They're still running against this. They're a whole identity. Their main part of their platform is Trump bad. That's the whole thing. They're still running against that, that's not an identity. You go to an interview, go to a job interview. And the whole time you talk about who you're not or how much you hate someone else. It doesn't define who you are. They want to know who you are. What are you going to do? And the only policies that are popping up and coming to the top here are the only ones who are talking right now are the Democrat socialists. Which they're communists, folks. That's what they are. And they talk about socialism and all the social programs and everything that they want to do. And then on top of that, like Mamdani has said, the holy grail, the ultimate thing that they want to do is to seize the means of production, which is absolutely the definition of communism, even though it's never that way. It's communism all sounds great on paper because everybody just, works and does what they want to do. Everybody gets to do whatever they want to do. Well, there was a really good, maybe I can find it. I'm going to look in my history because this was actually really good. It was a guy who, I don't know if I heard this today. It might have been early this morning when I was listening to this. No, it wasn't. It must have been last night. Must have been yesterday. No, it wasn't that. It was, I got to find this because it was actually, it's worth listening to. It's worth going back over this because this guy was talking about communism. I don't think it was that. Let's see here. Let's keep going. Yeah, I think this is, this is very good. This is worth listening to. This guy's from Cuba and he's at a college campus. This is the kind of person they need to put in TPUSA. By the way, I'm going to talk about Tucker Carlson a little bit as well for a moment. I know I'm getting kind of all over the place here. But there's some interesting things that we need to know about Tucker Carlson. I've been a big fan of his, but at the same time, there's some issues.
Unfortunately, people only realize this when it's already too late.
But back to your point about leftist violence, you have to understand this is not something new. This is not something that's randomly happening. It happened in China, it happened in Vietnam, it happened in Cuba, which I'm Cuban. Every single time the leftists take over, what do they want? Revolution. To what? Break down the status quo. How do they do that? Not through peace. They do it through revolution. Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Stalin. Every single time, that's how they do it. And you know who they use? All of you. They use the university students. They use leftists. The authoritarian convinced the leftists to fight for them. It happened in Iran where the Ayatollah took over. It happened in Cuba with Castro. They get the leftists to disrupt and cause destabilization. Once they take power, they get rid of all of the leftists that helped them get in power. You know what Mao did after he got power? He said, I don't need any more destabilization. He sent them out into the field to work and 9 million of them died. They go after the young people in universities every single time. This is the same thing happening over again. This is not new. What you're experiencing is not new. It's just new to you. It's new to our age.
All right. I want to make something. He touched on one particular thing there. Once he wanted stabilization back, he sent all those people who were there out working in the fields. They convinced themselves that, okay, you're going to have a job. You're going to be out there working. We're going to provide, the government's going to provide jobs. Now, we need to, for the sake of the nation, you need to go out and work in the fields and start to grow. We're going to work together now. He sends them out there. That, of course, the government takes all the food. They do all the harvesting. They do all the farming and harvesting. And they don't allow them to keep any of it for themselves. They give it all to the government because you know, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. From each according to their ability to, so they take from your ability and they give you this farmland, they put you out there, you do this farming, you're expected to have all of your needs taken care of, and then he ends up starving them all to death. I think was it Mao that it was under Mao, I think there was like 80 some million people died. Millions of people starved, I know that. There's several different waves of things that happened there. Because he didn't need those disruptors anymore. He didn't need those, you know, protesters, those people out there. So he just sent them out to work, you know, to for the state. It's part of your duty to civilization. In this communist, you know, because we're all going to work together now for our own common good. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Kind of mentality. So this is where they are. And this guy's spot on his history. This is a brilliant way to put this together because it is absolutely true. And they're using these young people, they're using academia and their little minds full of mush, as Rush Limbaugh would say, to give them this utopian idea. I haven't used the word hyperbolic today or hyperbole today because it's my wife told me I use that word a lot, so I'm not using it today, and I'm not being hyperbolic about it. This guy's spot on. What he's talking about is the actual history of all these dictators. Now they may not be able to point at the Democrat Party and say there is a dictator here. No, it's the party itself that's the dictatorship. It's the theology. It's the spirit of the fascism. When someone comes walking, when you come down the street and you want to talk to somebody in one of these events, one of these things, and they try to shut you down and shut you out and push you away and send you down the street or pounce on you and get beaten up, that's fascism. When they don't give you the right to ask them questions. They don't give you the right to film them. They just want to be out there in the streets shouting out their little thing that they want to say and doing their little protest. But they don't want to have a debate. They don't want to have any discourse. They don't want to have any talk. There's no discussion. That's fascism. That's my definition of fascism, is this is the truth and you're going to believe it whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not. This is the way we're going to push this on you. This is like BLM when they were marching down the street and they would go into a restaurant, like a street-wide side restaurant, get in your face and tell you, say Black Lives Matter. And if you don't say it, they're going to tip your table over. They're going to dump your food on the floor. That's fascism, making you say something you don't want to say, making you believe something you don't believe in, confess to something you don't want to confess in to. That's fascism. That's forced, coercive dictatorship. It's tyranny. It's not freedom of speech. It's not, saying Charlie Kirk. Well, I'm going to play that tomorrow. I've got this audio of this lady saying this. It's just a ridiculous thing. She's saying, I'm glad Charlie Kirk is dead. He was a bad person. He's glad he's dead. Hitler's dead. She basically saying Hitler's dead. I'm glad he's dead.
By the way, we should be able to afford health care in this country.
What kind of health care did Charlie Kirk get? How'd that work out? That's fascism. That's people who don't agree with you deserve to die. That's fascism right there. And yet they're the ones who think that they're the compassionate ones. They're the ones who care about people. It's not true at all. And this whole thing with Hakeem Jeffries, it's going to be, of course, this is right-wing violence. They have one threat. And what happened to that guy? No, he's been arrested for it already. What happens to people on the left who do the same thing? I don't want to get into too much whataboutism, because that's what the left plays that game all the time. Well, what about this? What about Trump? What about Trump? In fact, who was it the other day? I think it was Brandon Johnson. Somebody was being confronted by somebody about something, and the first thing out of their mouth is, "Well, but Trump did this. Trump." Wasn't talking about Trump. It had nothing to do with what Trump's saying. This has nothing to do with Trump, and yet you bring up Trump again. They start foaming at the mouth, and his name starts coming out of their lips. It's like they're possessed with some kind of a... Yeah. Anyway, it's the kind of thing we have here. Now, I want to talk a little bit about... First of all, I'll talk about Tucker Carlson just a little bit. Tucker, there's two people that have kind of gone off the deep end, and I don't know exactly what's going on with them. There seems to be Tucker is independent. Tucker has always been able to be under the umbrella, the covering, if you will, of, I think he worked for CNN for a while. I think he might have even worked for MSNBC or one of the other networks, and he worked for Fox. Of course, he was a big show on Fox, coming out and kind of poking the bear a little bit with some things, with some statements, and being very controversial in some things he was saying. Now, I want to explain something to you. Tucker has never really liked Trump. He was seen with him before the election. He's never really been a big fan of Trump. He's been a very reluctant go along with Trump, whatever. He's never really been a big fan. Now, I'm not saying you have to be. He's not. I don't think he's anti-Trump. But I don't think he likes him very much. I think he sees him as a necessary, let's get through this era and move on kind of person. It's, and I don't believe that Tucker is as much of a, first of all, I don't want to judge somebody's faith. All I'm saying is, I think his faith is convenient. But that's just my opinion. I'm not going to be the judge of the man. I'm just saying this is what I see. This is what I'm observing. He had a very combative discussion with Ted Cruz, and it was about the whole state of Israel and this whole thing with Israel. If you don't understand what is commonly called Zionist mentality, Zionist philosophy, it's a lot more complicated than what some people, I think Jonathan Kahn probably has the best explanation of what's going on with and how to define things with regard to Zionism. I'm not going to play that right now, but he, in a sense, this is where we get it wrong. This is where you get this division of replacement theology starts to come into place here. And people have embraced it without even realizing they've embraced it in many ways. I kind of grew up with this mentality, this idea that, well, the Jews have rejected Jesus, therefore the Christians are now the new chosen people. That is not the case. God never divorced Israel. He never divorced them. He made a covenant with them. We have been engrafted into the branch, into the faith. We did not replace the branch. We got engrafted into the faith. It is fulfilled Judaism. And this is, I've had this discussion with some of my friends, and I may be wrong in this whole thing, but my philosophy on this whole thing, what did Jesus come to do? When he says, you know, he did not come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Because we can't fulfill it. We, in all of our struggles and all of our attempts and all of our fleshly, floundering around, we cannot fulfill the law and the prophets. This is why we need his mercy. We need his grace. We need grace to live a godly life. And that is what he came to do. So we are his church. We are the ones who are continuing on his mission to fulfill the law and the prophets by having him live within us and with his spirit living within us. He still has that mission to fulfill that. Now, we are not going to fulfill it. But we live in that grace. We live in that now. So we live in this fulfilled Judaism. We live in fulfilled Judaism. We no longer need sacrifices. It's been fulfilled in everything he was, and everything who he was. It's been fulfilled. Torah has been fulfilled. So we live in that. And the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church . How do I say this? It is, they have been at their core. They have been anti-Semitic. Now, I'm not going to get into specific things that certain popes have said and certain things certain popes have done. But the Lutheran movement, the Reformation, if you will, was actually a reformation of Catholicism, not a fulfillment of Judaism. Martin Luther, King, not King, Martin Luther, well, I want to get to him in just a minute, but Martin Luther did not, in his thesis, little thing he posted on the door there, was not a, this was kind of like a social media post back in the day. His disagreements with the Catholic Church and some of the things, because he actually started reading the Bible, what was happening there was a reformation of their religion and not necessarily. And it was, I think it was right in the right direction. But it still wasn't the actual fulfillment of Judaism the way that it was intended to be. And ironically, well, I'm getting into all that. I'm going down a rabbit hole that I wasn't really prepared for. But I don't get too far in the weeds with all that. The interesting part of all that is how when you start to push Candace Owens has become a Catholic, and soon thereafter she started kind of going off the deep end. It's almost like her moral pinnings have kind of. She's often some weird ideas and some conspiracy ideas and theories, and a lot of it has to do with the establishment and the Jewish and Israel. Israel's control over things, and it just it's just weird stuff. Tucker Carlson has gone down a similar road. Now, I do believe that Israel has an undue influence on many of our politicians, because the money flows. They're deeply connected to the military industrial complex, and it's just it's very muddy. It's messy and sloppy, and it's not good. There's a lot of things that are not happening that are just not good. But Tucker is kind of I don't really like the idea that he's working with TPUSA right now. I really don't. Tucker does not. He has a very different kind of flavor to what he does. This guy that I just played, this Cuban guy, is probably more in touch with what is actually happening with regard to college campuses and revolution and the progressive movement, the whole thing and what's happening there. He probably has a better understanding than even Tucker Carlson does, and I don't see Tucker as being the when he gets out in the unscripted world of responding to people on the spot. This is where Charlie Kirk was just an absolute brilliant person with regard to hearing someone's discontent or their disagreement. Making a statement and making an accusation and just coming back and just slathering on mountains and mountains of truth and reasoning. This is why, and he was very effective. This is why the Democrats did not like him. Truth is very offensive when it really is the truth. And I think really showed who the Democrats are and who this leftist movement, what they're all about. Now, anyway, I want to move on from this. Let's talk about the economy here for just a minute. What is your perception of the economy right now? I believe we are on the precipice, and I think that we have a. You know, this whole government shutdown thing, I think, has become more of a spiritual issue, and there's something going on here. I guess some billionaire has stepped up and paid for. I think he put up like $130 million, whatever it is, to pay for the wages for the next week or the next month of wages for the military, some government workers. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. I heard. Let me see if I can find this. It might actually be here. I didn't spell that right. That's why it's not. Nothing's coming up. Let's see what we get here. Employee benefits cost employers 3.5 paid leave. I should put in a government shutdown. Let's try that. Let's put in news for workers paid by private shutdown. Anonymous donor gives $130 million to pay troops during shutdown, Pentagon says. Somebody stepped up. One person, my understanding, has stepped up to give. This is actually MSN, believe it or not. Financial assistance to federal, who gets paid? Yes, government. Yes, let's look at this. This is actually a video. See if it actually plays on here or not. This article says the Pentagon said it received $130 million from a private anonymous donor to pay members of the military during the government shutdown. Defense Department spokesman Sean Parnell said Friday the Pentagon accepted the donation Thursday under the department's general gift acceptance authority. The donation was made on the condition that it would be used to offset the cost of service members' salaries and benefits paid, Parnell said. $130 million gift wouldn't cover the cost of salary and benefits for military personnel during the typical pay period, so it's not going to cover the whole thing. The federal government spent more than $191 billion in 2024 to pay military personnel, according to the White House Office of Management and Budget, averaging more than $7 billion for every two-week period. Okay, well, that's not going to quite put a dent in it. President Trump said that at a White House event Thursday that a friend of mine, he said, sent the administration $130 million to check million dollar check to help with any shortfall of the military during the shutdown. Trump didn't name the donor. That's what I call a patriot, Trump said. Trump earlier directed the Pentagon, and of course, this evil capitalist is putting his money where his mouth is. So this isn't coming from Democrats. They haven't even offered a GoFundMe page for people on the Democrat side to offer any money. Trump earlier directed the Pentagon to ensure military service members received their paychecks as the shutdown continued. Military service members were expected to miss their first full paycheck in mid-October since the shutdown began on October 1st. Active duty military members have stayed on the job throughout the shutdown and are guaranteed retroactive pay when it ends. There are about 2 million civilian government workers and 1.3 million active duty military members. Now, my opinion, what I think should happen here, this is just my opinion, and you can let me know what you think at 812-379-8778. I believe if you are a government employee and you have continued to work without a paycheck, if you showed up for work every day and you're still getting paid and you're still doing your thing and you haven't called in sick, and of course, calling in sick doesn't really matter either, because people do genuinely get sick, and they might mean to come into work and actually get sick. This, I don't want to penalize those people at all, but of course, they're calling in sick. If you show up for work, now if you're getting sick pay, you shouldn't get this. If you get your regular sick pay, you just get your sick pay, straight sick pay. If you show up for work, you should get reimbursed when this all gets done. You should either get reimbursed time and a half, overtime pay, or double pay. I guarantee you people will be willing to show up for work every day for that double time pay. Or pay without any taxes withheld. One of the two. They showed up when they weren't getting paid, then the taxes shouldn't show up when they do get paid. All their back pay should be tax-free. Or time and a half or double time. Probably double time, because by the time you get time and a half, the taxes are going to take most of it away anyway. That's one of the things that we don't understand in this particular economy. Now, the reason I bring that up when I'm talking about the economy is because that is deeply affecting the economy right now. And I think there's a lot of speculation right now. And of course, the stock market isn't always a good bellwether of what's happening by the way, the price of eggs are down, price of a lot of things are down. You don't hear the Democrats squawking about anything right now, so you know things must be going down. Price of gas is going down. I just talked to a guy from California the other day. So he just paid $5.49 for a gallon of gas in California. See, I think it's like $2.70 something here. At least I know Costco was like $2.69 or $2.79, whatever it was. It was way down there. It was under definitely under $3. Now, here's my opinion and where we're going with it, because we are up in production. We are way over production of what we were back in the Biden administration. My opinion, this is my opinion only. I believe that we will, before the end of the Trump administration, probably within the next year, probably before election time of 2026, we will see places in this country where the gas is down below $2 a gallon again. That is my opinion. That is going to cause, in what I believe, will be a tremendous acceleration of actual economic boom in this country. Not inflation, not overspending, just a tremendous amount of economic boom. In fact, I think that this Christmas season will probably be one of the biggest seasons, spending seasons of our nation in the part time of the year, as gas prices continue to go down. Now, they're trying to keep the government shut down going. They're going to have to do something different because this only goes to like November 21st. It's this continuing resolution thing. It only goes till November 20-something, I think 21st or something like that. It's going to give us about three weeks, which is they're not going to do that. The House already has the votes to go back and redo a two-month extension or 60-day extension or whatever, 90 days, whatever it is, into this whole thing and get it going again. And of course, all they have to do is bring that back. It's the same thing. And they've already passed it once. They're going to pass it again. And of course, you still have Congress people, people in the House coming out and saying that there's this, you know, they're speaking out against it, which is stupid because they've already voted for it. And so we'll have to see what happens with this. But I don't think they want to carry this into Christmas. They want to basically get it through until Christmas, until after Christmas or after the first of the year, and then start working on it again. They're trying to get this whole thing, you know, wrapped up in this whole thing with Obamacare and how much. I just saw Rachel Maddow saying, you know, a household family that makes, you know, $400,000 a year or whatever it is, as much as she makes in one show, is going to have to pay, what is it, $16,000 a year more in their health insurance, or $24,000 more, whatever it was. It's, you know, just these ridiculous prices, the numbers that they're throwing out there. And again, this is where there's all kinds of loopholes here and all kinds of things in the tax code that they just don't explain it to anybody at all. They act like they're going to pay that much more. Well, I thought that these rich people need to pay their fair share. Isn't that what that was all about? And by the way, this is the ACA. This is the Affordable Health Care Act. That's what it has done to our healthcare industry. Health insurance costs, while they've never been cheap, they were at least stable before the ACA. The ACA was a method to get all of the insurance companies that were out there to play ball with government. It basically was a seizing of the means of production of healthcare insurance. They were seizing control of the healthcare insurance industry. No more competition anymore. Now the government was putting out, this is what's going to have to cost, this is what you have to do, cost controls, you know, all these other things. So the insurance companies had to step up, and they have to be competitive with the others, and that everything that they do, and it just causes the prices to go up. Gave them more control over healthcare. The whole thing is a spiraling, and they really, there were people in the background, the people who were on the committees, the people who were actually behind this whole thing, which mostly the unions that were behind some of this stuff, people who were actually had this all. This whole thing was all printed out back when Hillary Clinton was the first lady, back when Bill Clinton was the president. She just all of a sudden had this big, you know, 6-inch thick bill that she threw out on the cabinet and said, we need, you know, universal health care. She was the first one who brought this up to actual congressional board. That was her thing as first lady, was healthcare. She didn't write that. It was already written, and it was written mostly by unions who came up with all this stuff. The progressives, they had it all ready to go already. And that was a carbon copy of what has been done in other communist countries. So, or I should say socialist countries. So that's where this has come from. Well, then they throw this stuff out there. And, you know, there it is. Boom. It's just, it's all there. And now all of a sudden, 20 years later, you know, of course, they need Obamacare, the ACA. People on that committee, people who were in charge of making all those decisions, who were just making it up as they went, they knew that the ACA was not going to fix the problem. It was simply going to coagulate the problem into a situation where it would eventually reach a breaking point and they would have to go to single payer. It was a means to an end to single payer. In other words, government issued, whatever you want to call it, Medicare for all, as Bernie would say, Medicare for all. It's just single payer healthcare. That's what it is. We would take the Medicare program and it would just be, the government would take over. That's what it would be. And then they would pick and choose the insurance companies that they were going to use. They pick and choose the losers and the winners. Anybody goes along with what they're doing. That's what that's all about. So that, yeah, so there you are. Now, having said all of that, it is time for me to end the show. I've gone over a little bit. I never like it when I go over an hour because it's just, I feel like I've given you more than you've paid for. That's what the problem is. My chai is almost cold. It's almost iced chai now, by the way. Folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for talking on the show. And again, let me know what you think about all these things that I've talked about. I kind of muddled up the whole thing with the Catholic Church and the Judaism and all that stuff. That would almost take a show all in and of itself to kind of go over the whole details of all that. But it's, I think you get the main idea of what I'm talking about there. So, yeah, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think. We'll get back to it. Again, tomorrow morning will be another show, probably a little bit earlier. Wednesday morning, I'm hoping to have a live show. Other than that, God bless. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing and liking and all that stuff. See ya.